then there were four. Welcome on to William Hill's Rugby Union podcast. We are previewing this weekend's World Cup semi-finals. My name's Michael Casey, and I'm delighted to say that joining me on the line to discuss the two fixtures is former England international prop forward Jeff Probyn. Jeff, I guess from a Northern Hemisphere point of view, it's well and truly back to the drawing board, isn't it?
It certainly is. We need to really look at how, assess how we prepare our players, the sort of competitions we're playing. It can't be anything to do with the physical nature of how we prepare our players, because physically we put them in gyms, we do through the various fitness programs that all the countries use. So our players are just as fit as anyone in the Southern Hemisphere, probably in some cases fitter. But it's the skill base, it's the way we play our games, it's playing in competition under pressure. And the Southern Hemisphere seems to do it that much better. You know, a big surprise last week was obviously the Ireland result. 20 points up in Argentina, 20 points up within like 13 minutes. Unbelievable, really.
And they played fantastically, and I think obviously probably showing the benefit. I know they've had good World Cups in the past. We look at 2007. Obviously, it's got a bit of an Argentinian vintage, but probably showing the benefits of having that regular top-tier competition playing in the Rugby Championship now. But, I mean, across the board, I think that Wales were probably the sole side that gave a decent account of themselves, losing out to South Africa right at the death. But the French, I mean, I won't dwell on this, Jeff, but we obviously thought that they'd maybe have a half chance of pulling off a shock against New Zealand, but in the end, you know, it ended up as a men against boys, and as you say, Ireland fell foul, and then I said the only team that come across to the game on Sunday, of course, Scotland, very, very unfortunate, and I'm sure they're still not quite forgiven Craig Joubert for the decision towards the end to almost cause the shock of the round, and the only Northern Hemisphere side left at the table against Australia, but of course it wasn't to be, and it leaves us with the two semi-finals that we've got: South Africa versus New Zealand and Argentina versus Australia. Basically, that obviously the four rugby championship nations locking horns, and it is a sad, I guess, state of affairs. But we've got two fantastic prospects in line, Jeff.
Oh, we have, yeah. You know, and as we say, Scotland unlucky. But in truth, if you look back through that game, I'm pretty sure you'll find one or two decisions that went against the Australians that they would say, well, you know, if we'd had those, it wouldn't have come down to that last decision. The game of rugby has always been a bit of a strange game in that sense. You don't play the laws, you play the referee's interpretation. And sometimes it works for you, sometimes it doesn't. But this week we've got four teams that actually play each other on a regular basis. So they know each other, they understand each other. It gives us probably a bit more incitement into how these games will turn out, simply because we do know how they perform against each other. They do it year in, year out. And they know each other. One of the aspects when you have the Northern Hemisphere playing the Southern Hemisphere, we don't play often enough against each other to really know the opposition teams. And so you tend to have a very fractured game. These are games that will be played at high intensity, with a lot of physicality, and also with a little bit of knowledge of each other. You know, we've got Mayer already turning around saying the All Blacks are the best team that he's ever seen, the best All Blacks that have ever been. Well, this is the same All Blacks that lost to Australia in the Championship. So either Mayer's going a bit blind and a bit deaf and a bit senile, or he's playing games.
Well, it wouldn't be like an international rugby coach to play games, would it, Jeff? Let's talk about New Zealand then, and Saturday's game, South Africa versus New Zealand. South Africa are 100-30, New Zealand 2-7. So New Zealand the shortest price of the four sides this weekend. The draw is there at 20-1, and the handicap is 8 points. Of course, South Africa versus Wales is a very tight affair. I think you can point the finger where you want, maybe. Alex Cuthbert perhaps positionally let himself down a little bit for the final try. It was a lovely piece of handling in the build-up from the South Africans to get the victory. But they eventually got past a spirited Wales outfit. And for New Zealand, well, no such test. After a close, on the scoreboard at least, for the opening quarter or so of an hour against France. After that, New Zealand just really ran riot against the French, who quite quickly gave up and, of course, ran up to a 62-13 final score, which is quite something in the quarterfinal stage of the tournament. Jeff, how do you think this one's going? Do you think New Zealand justify that 2-7 price tag?
No, I don't. You know, I said from the start that I think South Africa are the team to back, and I think that South Africa have shown their worth. They've had a far harder challenge going through to this semi-final than the New Zealanders. New Zealanders, I was expecting France to give them a game, and France didn't turn up. Whether that's because of Saint-André's relationship with his players or not, he knows he's already being replaced as French coach. They've already named the new French coach. So, for a lot, in many ways, you kind of look at it and you think, well, the French shouldn't have anything to play for. Only respect, only their own self-respect. And for some reason, they just didn't bother to turn up. And New Zealand walked through that game. It was a cakewalk. It was a training match. They will know that against South Africa, they will play a serious challenge. South Africa have had to struggle to get where they are. I expect that to stand them in good stead. They know the New Zealand team well. The New Zealanders have changed their front row. They brought in Joe Moody, so he's coming in as a loose end. It's his first full game, and a semi-final World Cup for your first full game for the All Blacks is a bit of a challenge. Yes, there's a lot of experience there. For me, the big battle is going to be between Scott Berger and obviously Richie McCaw. Whoever wins, though, that battle will define the game. And I just think that South Africa have got slight edge. So I said this last week about the French, and I was proved very, very badly wrong. But I think this week I might be proved right.
Well, there's plenty of value to be had if you think the Springboks can spring an upset, and 100-30 they are in the outrights. If you want to play it a little bit safer, of course you can back them with the handicap. That's a 10-11 shot with a +8 head start. I mean, what sort of game are you anticipating? All four of the quarterfinal games, we saw quite a lot of points in total. Obviously some games very close with both sides contributing to a high scoring game, and then some rather one sided games, case in point being New Zealand versus France. Do you think it'll be a free scoring affair, or do you think it might be a little bit tighter?
Well, remembering that these two sides know each other very, very well, so they understand the way each other plays. They'll be cancelling each other out. I don't expect it to be a big score. I expect it to be something like a 23-18 or 21-18 score like that, something close like that. It will come down to one score, who wins it, and it'll be a very, very physical game. South Africa always play a physical game. Against New Zealand, it will be physical, it will be relentless. And I think South Africa will just squeeze it at the end.
Well, I mean, if you fancy that one score idea, we have the dozen winning margin live markets, which basically give you a 1-12 win for either side. South Africa to win by 1-12 points is 4-1. So not a massive enhancement on the 100-30. I think the traders thinking if South Africa are going to win this game, they'll only just nick it. New Zealand to win by 1-12 is 5-4. So one of the few odds against shots you're getting on the All Blacks. Similarly, you can play the 1-5 market if you think it's going to be as tight as you suggest. It's 13-2 South Africa, 5-1 New Zealand. So perhaps that 13-2, a big price, South Africa to win by 1-5 points, Jeff.
Yeah. Although the South Africa 5-1, I've not done well on 5-1s, have I?
No, it's 4-1, Jeff, on the 1-12. So you'll be okay. Yeah. You'll be fine.
No, I'll be all right with that one then. Yeah, I'll stick on the South Africa then for that.
Good stuff. Well, let's talk about some try scorers, and we've got the team news in for these games, as you mentioned. The only change to the South Africa squad is Victor Matfield is included on the bench at the age of 38. Quite an achievement there for the Lockford. And then for New Zealand, as you mentioned, Joe Moody replaces Wyatt Crockett in the front row for the starting 15. With regards to how the game's priced up and the try scorers, were odds against in all the anytime try scorer betting. So even the likes of Brian Habana, Julian Cervea, Nehi Milner Scudder are all odds against. Are there any particular players that you would fancy for a try on a Saturday afternoon, Jeff?
Well, I think Brian Habana, it's about time he did something. He's had a very quiet World Cup, this World Cup, hasn't he, really?
By his standards, yeah.
Yeah, by his standards, you know. And as such, This is a game that's got his name written all over it, hasn't it? Really, it's one of those moments when you see a star player be a star, and I look at him as an anytime scorer certainly.
Yeah, well, it's 9-4, which is a decent price. Not often you see a winger with Brian Habana's international scoring pedigree priced up at 9-4. To touchdown any time, so that's available there. The favourite in the betting is Julian Cervea, as I said. Quite unsurprisingly, I'm going to throw Aaron Smith into the equation. I thought that value
he's a
from
player, Aaron. He carries the ball well. You know, he's one of these players that is slightly underrated. They've got the big stars. You could throw Ben Smith in as well into that as well as a possible for New Zealand. You know, your fullback coming into the line, Willie LaRue for the South Africans. You kind of think it's going to be those players that are going to score the tries. It will be a ball coming out from the winger back inside and the fullback running onto it that sees the try coming in. So, you know, I'd go for Willie LaRue as well and Ben Smith. I think they're two good ones to go for. Aaron Smith, obviously, just playing with Nonu. He's got to be there. We've got lots of Smiths all over the place, haven't we?
We have. Conrad as well. But Aaron Smith, 7-2. It's 11-4, Ben Smith and Willie LaRue, 5-1 there. The anytime try score of price. Of course, you can bat first, last two or more, or even hat-trick if you were inclined to do so. We'll move across to Sunday's game then, and interesting to see that Argentina versus Australia is actually closer in the pricing than the South African-New Zealand game. I think that's a reflection on, obviously, the two quarterfinals these two sides came through. Argentina, let's be honest, Jeff, they were brilliant at times against the Irish, and as we said, Australia made to battle till the very, very final whistle against the Scottish, and it was probably the closest test by some distance that they've had this tournament. It is 2-5 Australia, 12-5 Argentina, 20-1 the draw, and the handicap is 6 points, Jeff.
Yeah, but of course what you've got to be remembered is that Argentina will not surprise Australia. They certainly surprised Ireland with the way they played. The Australians are playing against the Argentinians on a regular basis. They played them a couple of months ago in the championship. They beat them easily in the championship. They know the Argentinians. The Argentinians haven't changed their style as far as the championship's concerned down in the Southern Hemisphere. The Australians will, I believe, win this game and win it quite comfortably. I think this will be, if you like, one of the comfortable games. Four most comfortable games that a semi-final can be. It has to be said that even the Argentinians are saying themselves, one day we will be capable of winning the championship. They're not saying this year, you know, this year is their year for the World Cup. I think that 2019, by the time they've been in the championship for 4 or 5 years longer, they've developed their side, their professional game in Argentina themselves, kept more of their players at home, then they will become a well-beating side. At the moment, they're not, which doesn't say much for the Irish, it has to be said. But I do believe that the Australians are just a little bit too strong for the Argentinians at this time.
Well, quite a strong argument put forward there then, Jeff. So -6 Australia, I guess, would be the natural selection at 10-11. I mean, if you want to be particularly bold, you can look in the alternative handicap markets. There's 10 available currently. I mean, -11 points on Australia is 7-4. If you fancy increasing that that handicap, Jeff, or you can go even bigger, -16 at 4-1.
I think it will be between 11 and 16 points. I think it will be somewhere up there.
Okay. So 7-4 minus 11 points looks a decent proposition. As we said, the team news for this is not live at time of recording. The two coaches looking to kind of, I guess, show the hand as late as possible. But we do already have priced up try-scorer markets. I mean, you're very keen on Australia, Jeff. So depending on the fitness of Izzy Folau, I guess he'd be a selection. He's 5-2, joint favourite with Adam Ashley Cooper, who, of course, touched down against Scotland, as did Drew Mitchell, 11-4.
Yeah, you got to look at those. Kieran Darnie as well. He'll be around somewhere in there. Big, powerful centre.
Yeah, big
carries
price,
the ball a lot.
Big price to beat Kieran Darnie, 9-2 to get over the whitewash.
Yeah so you know, I'd look at him. Obviously, you got to look at Foley as well, because he scored tries. As well as kicking his goals, he does get involved with the try scoring. So Foley's got to be looked at as a potential anytime try scorer.
5-1 for Bernard Foley, of course, proved to be the downfall of England, which it seemed like an eternity ago, didn't it, the group stages the England game now. But those memories of Bernard Foley running through the England backline, they still hold firm despite how long ago it might have seen. And if you were to look at the other side of the line, then I know you're not too keen on Argentina's chances, but if you did have to pick a player, Juan Imhoff is a favourite in the betting to score any time at 9-4. I mean, Marcelo Bosch, a player that we know very well, he's 11-2
Sanchez
any time.
Well.
Nicolas Sanchez, he'll be a big price to score at the fly half. He's 9-1 to cross the whitewash on Sunday afternoon.
Well, yeah, well, there's, you know, there's a chance. They will throw the ball around. They'll be looking at him off, obviously. They'll be looking at Moroni as well, and Lanjo. So it might be a chance for Sanchez to sneak through. He might well do it.
I mean, I guess if you're not too sweet on the chances of an Argentina overall, which you're quite clearly not, you may be more obliged to take one of the bigger prices, which, of course, at 9-1, Sanchez certainly fits the bill.
Mm. And I think, as I say, Moroni would be an anytime try score as well for me.
Moroni, 5-1, your favourite price, 5-1.
God, 5-1 again.
Matias Moroni.
Oh, disaster. I got it right with Gareth Davis, though. I did get it right.
You did get it right with Gareth Davis. Well, so I guess, you know, if you land one 5-1 and you miss the other for level stakes, you're still in profit, Jeff, and that's the that's the aim of the game. I guess then, just to round it off before we kick off the action this weekend, you're still keen on South Africa winning the tournament, of course. Do you think they're going to get past New Zealand this week?
Well, that's it. I do think they will get past. I think that South Africa, I've said since the start, I think South Africa are the side who will win it. I think it will be a South Africa Australia final. It's going to be brutal this week, though, and there's going to be some there will be some tears.
Well, let's hope for the sake of the bets that they're All Blacks and Argentinian tears, but South Africa to win the tournament is now backable at 7-1, so I guess now might be the time to get on that, because if they come past the All Blacks in the semi-final, I would imagine they will go into favourites for the tournament, or certainly very close to. Jeff, fingers crossed that the picks come true this weekend, and thank you very much for talking to us.
Yeah, let's hope it's not decided by a referee again.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.